What's up? Welcome in. It's another edition of Opening Lines here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The glut of week three pretty much over in the National Football League. So for the next 2 hours, we go over everything in terms of opening lines for week four in the NFL. And of course, we include some colleges. We are now on for 2 hours, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Cohort, as always, Wes Reynolds alongside as well. And we dive right in with an edition of Opening Lines. We're going to run through these pretty quick, Wes, and then we'll get to some deep-seated analysis for some of them. But we'll start Thursday night. Denver, 2.5-point favorite on the road against the New York Jets for Thursday night, coming off of that pretty bad loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Indianapolis, Chicago. Indianapolis, 2.5 on the road against Chicago, but looks like we're going to get Nick Foles, and the number's been adjusted since to -3, even money at the Westgate.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's getting adjusted upwards. I would have thought maybe you'd see a little action, and you may later on in the week see more action on Chicago, because look, the guy with the Super Bowl ring is now the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, apparently. That has not been confirmed yet by Matt Nagy. Should come out overnight or in the morning. But look, Foles is perceived as better than Trubisky, so I'd expect that Chicago would get the money, a 3-0 home dog. So you actually have a road favorite that not a lot of people are going to like, a very rare spot in the NFL.
I would agree with that. How about New Orleans on the road against Detroit? They are still in action on Sunday Night Football. New Orleans opens up 5.5 on the road against the Lions, who just got a big win over the Arizona Cardinals, who open up on the road as a 4.5-point favorite over the Carolina Panthers. This has been the biggest quick adjustment here, as New Orleans, Detroit off the board because the Saints are in action. Arizona opens up 4.5 on the road against Carolina. Not surprising, Wes, it is now 3.5.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Arizona, 3 turnovers today, -3 in the turnover margin, yep. 3 interceptions from Kyler Murray. That was essentially the difference as Detroit got the win 26-23.
Hey, one side that I was interested in getting in on, and the numbers since moved, Jacksonville on the road against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a 2.5-point favorite. Cleveland at Dallas. A lot of people unhappy with Kellen Moore and the offense's performance against the Seattle Seahawks today. Cowboys fresh off the loss, opened up 4.5 at home against the Cleveland Browns. This has since moved to 5.
Yes, it has. Dallas, and you talk about Matt at Kellen Moore. Save some for Mike McCarthy, too, right? Will you please? We mentioned about Seattle, let Russ cook. Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore, it was kind of like let Dak wash dishes. With all these dink and dumps down the field, you got almost 2 minutes to go and 3 timeouts, and you don't even get into the red zone for a real shot at the end. A heave by Dak intercepted, and Seattle gets the win and the cover.
Minnesota at Houston, also, of course, part of the week 4 slate as we run through quickly the opening lines for next week's action in the National Football League. Houston opens up a 4.5-point favorite. Hook has since disappeared. Minnesota coming off of a spirited performance. Performance that was all for naught in the end.
Yeah, it was. The offense actually got going. I guess, yeah, if you want to find the silver lining for the Vikings.
I think his name is Justin Jefferson.
Yes, and also Dalvin Cook, even though he did fumble early in the game, did break off a few big runs. We know that's what Mike Zimmer wants to do. He wants to run the ball and play good defense. The good defense is probably out of the question with all the personnel Minnesota has had. So Houston was right inside the number until they weren't there at the end. I like the spot for them, but I didn't like the number, so I'm glad I passed.
Seattle gets another terrible defense for Russ to slice up. Seattle opens up a 7-point favorite on the road against the Miami Dolphins. The Chargers, fresh off of a performance in which their rookie quarterback looks just like that, a rookie, on the road against Tampa Bay. 6.5 the number there initially. Buccaneers up to now a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, Buccaneers, I thought, impressed a little bit today. Didn't do much in the second half because they had such a lead, but absolutely shut down Jeff Driskel, and we know that front seven is really good, and now they've got film and a week to prepare for Driskel. And look, Tom Brady, 25-38, 297, 3 touchdowns a day. They even got Rob Gronkowski involved, so he's not just a blocker, apparently, in Tampa.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Titans open up a 1.5-point favorite at home against the Steelers. Baltimore initially a 13.5-point favorite on the road against the Washington football team, which looked listless today against the Cleveland Browns. Giants catching 11 originally against the Rams, now 11.5 over at the Westgate. New England, Kansas City. Chiefs going to be a touchdown favorite here against the Patriots after a spirited effort in the second half against the Raiders. Buffalo. This is going to be an interesting one from a totals perspective. We'll get to that, though. Opens up a 2.5-point favorite on the road against Las Vegas. And your last two, Philadelphia at San Francisco. 49ers, 5.5 at the open, now 6. And then the final game on the board, we'll get our Monday night matchup. We'll get the actual result, though, of course. Atlanta at Green Bay, initially set at Green Bay, 6.5 at home against the Atlanta Falcons, fresh off of this performance against New Orleans Saints on Sunday night. We'll see, of course, what the Green Bay Packers do and how they initially handle the Saints and what that number will be once we get to Monday night. It is the opening lines here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, let's dive into it, Wes. Let's get some recaps from today and tie them into next week because, of course, you always learn lessons. But first off, general picture, because it was a chalky day today in the National Football League, huh?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And look, this was a really weird week, and I know we'll get to that later in the show, but it was those 0-2 spots, yep, which usually historically week three is a good bounce back for those 0-2 ATSs, but pretty much a mixed bag here. Didn't really favor. I think actually more of them didn't cover than did. So also the overs, 7-1 to the over early.
Came back
a little bit, 2-3 late, but the only game that doesn't go over is the one that goes to overtime, go figure, Cincinnati and Philly. But,
which, by the way, by like a half point in some spots as
yes,
well.
Yes. Friends are not letting friends bet the overs here early on. If you're betting the unders, you are absolutely struggling. But we know how this works. Eventually, the odds makers are going to make the adjustments, and you're going to see. I don't know if it quite evens out, but I think you're going to get more unders at some point. But when do you jump in? It's very hard to bet unders right now in the National Football League, and I think largely what we are seeing with no spectators or at least limited spectators in a couple places, it's not very noisy there. That helps the offense.
Right.
They can hear themselves. They don't have to. You don't have to flash the message on the Jumbotron, hey, quiet, offense at work here with the little workman with the drill and whatnot.
Like Aaron Rodgers, too, by the way, like who are operating. His heart count is one of the best in the National Football League. So guys like that, you can initially get yourself some reaction from the defense. It's worked extremely well. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk had a write-up just a couple of days ago about it, how through 2 weeks he's the most points we've seen in the National Football League through 2 weeks of play.
Yeah, absolutely. And Green Bay, of course, put 40 points apiece up first 2 weeks. I believe they're the third team in NFL history to ever accomplish that feat.
So the actual numbers, too, by the way, favorites 10-2-1 straight up, 9-4 against the spread. And then, of course, if you looked at some of the over-unders, I think at this point I've got it at 8-5 to the over through these games in the National Football League on Sunday. All right, let's take a look at some of these results, and we can tie these into some of the games we're going to see. But one of the wild games from today, the Los Angeles Rams go into Buffalo, almost pull off the comeback, but ultimately fall short. The Rams were trailing 28-3 with 8:05 left to go in the third quarter, scored touchdowns on four consecutive drives, eventually going up 32-28 with 4:30 left in the game. But Josh Allen leads them back, West, 35-32, your final score. Buffalo gets the win, remains undefeated.
Yeah, Josh Allen did have two turnovers today, but we're looking at the numbers that they're putting up. This was a game I actually did not bet because this was kind of that one I didn't want any part of because I didn't have a good read on either side. How good are these two teams at 2-0, and how legit is the Buffalo offensive improvement? I think it is legit, even though they played the Dolphins and the Jets the first 2 weeks. Clearly, Sean McDermott is allowing Josh Allen to make plays and has more confidence in him throwing the football down the field.
And it's a positive, right, that you're actually like taking care of business against bad defenses too, right? Just because you're playing bad defenses, it would be one thing to play bad teams and kind of struggle. Like, I think we're seeing that with the Tennessee Titans, who we'll get to a little bit later. But a team like Buffalo, as much as they have played, you know, bottom-tiered teams through three games. I think the Rams probably aren't one of them. They've shown they're a little bit better than we thought. But they're taking advantage of defenses for the most part, and I think that's pretty positive. Big moment in this one. There were two, actually. One, Josh Allen of the Bills driving. They're at their 31-yard line after review because, you know, he would have been sacked, or he got sacked right at the sideline as he was trying to escape pressure. Bills 3rd-and-22. They convert with a pass to Cole Beasley, and then, of course, you get down to the red zone, and what happens? You get a pass interference called.
On a fourth and eight from the 13-yard line.
Game would have been over. I don't know what you thought. I did not think that was a penalty whatsoever.
I didn't either.
Ball wasn't catchable. He's jamming him at the line of scrimmage like you're allowed. Ultimately, you get another crack at it, and you score a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, and you wonder how that's going to affect the Rams next week. Now, they get a break is that they're arguably the biggest. I think they're the biggest favorite on the board. They get the New York football Giants, who fell to 0-3. So, that usually might be a spot you want to go against because a team that snatches victory from the jaws of defeat and then has the victory snatched away from them at the very last second, usually that could be a hangover spot. But it is the New York Giants. So, look, I don't know if I really want to lay 13 at some spots, and 11.5, I think, is the consensus right now. So not for me, but gosh, I can't back the Giants. Danny Dimes, two turnovers yet again today. I actually think he had more, but I think it's four games in a row where he's had multiple turnovers. Yep. And he's got to take care of the football. And if he doesn't take care of the football without Barkley and being down on personnel, he's got to be the guy, and he's not getting it done. And that's why the Giants are 0-3.
Well, and for all the positives too, by the way, for Josh Allen and this Buffalo Bills offense, they are very good. But it's two things, man. One, Aaron Donald wreaked havoc today along that offensive line, especially in the second half. Josh Allen started to look like Josh Allen from that wild card game against the Houston Texans. The other is he has now fumbled, at least in this season, three consecutive games,
right,
and lost it. So that's something he's got to work on, because the fumbles have been an issue. But as for that going forward here, I mentioned this in passing. Buffalo now will go on the road next week, take on the Las Vegas Raiders out here in our backyard at Legion Stadium. Initially a 2.5-point spread. I've mentioned the total. I have a feeling this might be a higher total than I think we're starting to see some 49.5s and 50s pop up. This seems to me like a team or a matchup that actually benefits both offenses. And I think you're going to see some high scoring, especially inside.
Agreed. And look, the Raiders were in a tough spot today because obviously your first game in the new city here in Las Vegas, even in an empty Allegiant Stadium, you want to put on a good impression. Your first impression is usually your best impression. And look, these guys, I know they're in football mode where they're focused and they're working all day, and it's football, 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 but they don't have their heads in the sand. They know it's been a tough environment.
They don't read anything, Wes.
Yeah, they know it's been a tough environment here in Las Vegas, and that the unemployment's higher here than in most other cities across America. So look, you're new in this town. You want to make an impression. You want to get the team behind you and get the town to feel good. And they did that with that win over the Saints. And I thought they had good energy early on. And that's usually what happens. The team meets the energy
in
right out of the gate.
In this game against the Patriots?
Yes.
Yes, I would agree.
They
with
meet
them.
The energy right out of the gate. And then they gradually wear down, and they just got gassed out late by the Patriots. But what you said about the over, I think it's true, because even in that win over the Saints last Monday night, you can tell this defense is faster and more athletic, but they're also very young.
Yep.
And they also make a lot of mistakes, and they also take poor angles on tackles and get out of position frequently, and that leads to points.
Well, and look, like we talk about both of these teams. The Bills, the one weakness that this defense has, of course, is up the middle. They're not very good against the run. That's a carryover from last year, as their defense largely remains intact. The Rams today ran for against the Buffalo Bills 5.2 yards per carry, 167 yards per game. A Raiders team likes to run the ball instead of play action with their big guy, Darren Waller, so this is going to be something to look forward to in this matchup. But as for this New England Patriots Las Vegas Raiders game that we saw today, Wes, is the Patriots got the win 36-20. A game goes over the total, and the Patriots cover. This was one of about four games that we saw where there were notable week three line moves. And what I found interesting was that a majority of these line moves actually did not work out the way that they had moved. You talk about this Las Vegas New England game, for example. It opened up 6.5, at one point got to as low as 5 in some shops.
Yeah, I bet it at 5.5. I saw it on Thursday. I was like, this move is awful curious. Is
right.
Because this is an awful spot for the Raiders.
Yep.
And usually you would think maybe the sharper guys would be all over the Patriots, as well as some of the public backers. But this was just a total dead spot for the Raiders. Even though they were good in the first half, they eventually worn down.
Yep. And we saw this actually close ultimately New England -7. As ultimately, they cover as well, almost every single one of those numbers. Houston and Pittsburgh was also one of these four games that we saw. Pittsburgh opened 6, got to as low as 3.5, ended up closing 4. Pittsburgh takes care of business against the Houston Texans. San Francisco and New York was one of these line moves as well. 4 initially open. Now the look ahead was actually 6.5. We won't count it too much considering what we know. Closed at 3. The Giants got some of the money. We're never in this game. And then the Detroit Arizona game was a curious one as well, as Arizona opened up 3.5 on the look ahead line. Initially got to 6 before coming back down and closing 5. And ultimately they end up losing. And that was the one that we saw in terms of the move and the direction that it went. That was the one where the market actually had it on this
right
one.
And I was on that Detroit side. 3 interceptions from Kyler Murray, that was basically the difference in the game. But what you were talking about with some of these games, sometimes you like the spot but you don't like the number. Like, I like the spot for the Texans today.
Yeah.
And I even said that on Betting Across America earlier this morning. I said, look, if I can find a way to get 7, that would be my target on Houston. That ends up what they were losing by. They did not score in the second half. And Steelers now 3-0, Texans 0-3.
And for me, when it came to Detroit and Arizona too, that was a number thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about this last week. But when it opened 6, when you initially saw 6s pop up, the line was telling you that Detroit was only a point better than the Washington football team, who was 7 the week prior in Arizona, that just didn't pass the smell.
Because we felt, even though Detroit's no great shakes, we didn't feel that they were as bad of a team. They were just very much banged up, especially in the secondary. But the first round pick, Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State, came up huge today with an interception.
So New England will take on Kansas City next week. Initial line right now, as we look ahead, New England catching a full touchdown, the 7. That, of course, will come down during Monday Night Football tomorrow, as the Chiefs are yet to take on the Baltimore Ravens. They're catching 3.5. Let's get to another wacky result from earlier today, as the Chicago Bears stage another comeback, this time against the Atlanta Falcons. 30-26, your final score. Remember, down big to the Detroit Lions in week one. They storm back, score 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter there. Well, this time down 16 in the fourth quarter, come storming back to beat the Atlanta Falcons. Chicago closed a 2.5-point underdog. Total 46.5. It goes over that. Atlanta, though, is the story here, Wes. We talk about the comebacks for Chicago. Well, this is yet another blown double-digit lead late for the Atlanta Falcons. They are 0-3. How about this? 16-point lead, 6:30. Left to go Sunday, their second consecutive week doing so. Over the last 20 seasons, no team has blown multiple 15-point fourth quarter leads in a year. And the Falcons did it in two straight weeks.
Yeah, this one hurt my feelings as I was on Atlanta. I was feeling pretty good. And look, when Nick Foles came in, it looked like he had a touchdown. It got overturned, ripped away from Denard at the end. So it's an interception. So it's like, okay, now they're going to put these guys away. And then it's like Atlanta's offense just found itself in quicksand. And look, you wonder, this is 2 years in a row where Atlanta has started horribly. Now, they rallied and saved Dan Quinn's job. They were 1-7 to start the season, ended up 6-2 the last 8 games, 7-9. I don't know if Dan Quinn's going to get another reprieve. The only thing he's going to get from Arthur Blank is either A, a pink slip, or B, an orange apron for Home Depot from the former founder of that company, who's now the owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
It's a good reference. But by the way, like this game had all sorts of narratives and storylines coming out of it. Not only did the Falcons, who are now 0-3, have to go on the road next week, take on the Green Bay Packers, who are in action on Sunday Night Football tonight, but the Chicago Bears are going to have a new quarterback, it looks like. Nick Foles actually came into this game, took over, ultimately threw 3 touchdowns, led the Chicago Bears to victory. I think you and I are in agreement here. The reason why, and we retweeted this clip a couple of weeks ago when Mitch Trubisky was named the starting quarterback. The reason why the Chicago Bears opened up the season with Mitch Trubisky was because they spent so much to get him, right? You move up to get him, you spend that overall pick on him. There was no way that they were going to just essentially punt on him at the beginning of this year. You have to see if you have something left. However, once you make that move to Nick Foles, I don't think there's any going back.
Yeah, I don't either. And this is kind of in Nick Foles' DNA, isn't it? I mean, it's really the story of his career. When he's the number two and he's called on for duty, he usually performs pretty effective. But when he's the man and he's the guy from day one, like he was in St. Louis, that didn't work out. And then he kind of became that in Philadelphia. He won a Super Bowl ring, but then the following season, not so much. And then he ends up in Jacksonville, gets hurt early on in the season against a game in Kansas City, and never got the job back. They put him back in, I think, for a game, but it was basically Gardner Minshew's job from that point on. And that's what Nick Foles does. He's a good number two that can catch lightning in a bottle when he's a number one, but can he sustain that long term? That's going to be interesting, and I'm going to be interested to see how the market bets this, because we're seeing 2.5s and even some 3s pop up where Indianapolis is the road favorite, but the public and I think the general betting populace is going to say, hey, we got the better quarterback in here now, and we've got an undefeated home dog. We've got a quarterback with a Super Bowl ring. I expect this number is going to drop gradually throughout the week.
I would agree with that. And the Colts really haven't played anybody. Jacksonville, Minnesota, and now this week against the New York Jets team, who was listless, was banged up, was also 0-2, not only straight up, but against the spread, which leads us to that trend for this week, right? Teams 0-2 against the spread, generally a good bet on spot here in week 3. It wasn't that great for though today. So we had filling that category, Wes, we had seven teams that came into week 3 0-2 against the spread. Ultimately, of those 7 teams, if you bet on all 7 of them, you went 3-4 against the spread. Now, Tennessee, Minnesota was not included because both teams were 0-2 against the spread. We took that one out because, of course, you're going to get a win on the loss there. But of the 7 0-2 teams against the spread, 4-3 today, ATS.
Yeah, we talked about that on VSiN all week. And look, you can never bet one of these trends blindly and one of these angles blindly. There were certain spots that were better spots than others. Yep. Carolina, I think, was one of them, even when they were without Christian McCaffrey, because now Herbert, they had to come back, the Chargers, from that game where they left everything on the line and let one slip away against Kansas City. So that was a good spot. Cleveland clearly outplayed Cincinnati last week. So by the stats, they were a good spot, even though they had to lay 7 and it's the Cleveland Browns. But you had some bad teams as underdog that looked like bad teams and are 0-2 ATS for a reason, and now 0-3, that being the New York Jets, the most prominent example, and also the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep. Well, speaking of the New York Jets, they have our first game of week 4. They will open up week 4 on Thursday night, taking on the Denver Broncos. Denver, of course, coming off of this loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 28-10. Denver pretty listless here. Bucks cover as a 6-point favorite. Game goes under the total at 42.5. Buccaneers, kind of an underwhelming offensive day, I think. Again, just 5.4 yards per play, 7.1 yards per attempt for one Tom Brady. He had 3 touchdowns, couldn't run the ball at all, 2.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
But how about this? And I think we'll save this for the other side, because how about this tease? There are rumblings, Wes, because Driscoll played pretty poorly. Brett Rippon came in as well. Neither one of these two may not get the start on Thursday night, because they went and signed a quarterback, and we might see Blake Bortles on Thursday night if you read some reports.
Wow. Blake Bortles, You can't kill him in the NFL. Good for him getting a paycheck and getting an opportunity likely here in Denver.
Yep. So we'll see the healthy scratch, of course, this week. Blake Bortles, a late addition. But we'll discuss this line, what it opened up as, the Blake Bortles effect potentially. And by the way, I don't know if we can get a worse Thursday night game than Broncos and Jets, but we're going to get it. And, of course, you can bet on it. But we'll have much more here on the opening lines as we resume on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. Opening lines here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jonathan Von Tobel, Wes Reynolds with you here today. We left off a little bit of a news nugget for you. And it looks like there are rumblings that on Thursday night, Denver, of course, and New York will be taking on one another. Jets, Broncos, sounds like a baseball day, as we were discussing. And even more so because we might get Sam Darnold versus Blake Bortles. There are rumblings that Blake Bortles could be getting a start in a Broncos uniform come Thursday.
Yeah, and Slammin' Sammy for the New York Jets had a lot of trouble today against Indianapolis.
Adam Gase has officially killed him.
Yeah, two pick sixes. As Sammy wishes he was back at Troy with USC when right. He maybe had at least some semblance of competent coaching, which he does not have in New Jersey right now. But yeah, looking at this game, Denver, a small favorite. Battle of 0-3 teams. Denver, the small favorite. I have no idea what to do with this, at least on initial glance. I would maybe tease the Jets up, but that's about all I would do.
I know what I would do with it. Not put any text
not putting in. Money yep. on it. Sometimes the best bets are the ones not made.
That's
so,
right.
There you go.
Well, speaking of bets, Anthony Lynn took a small bet after last week when he said that Tyrod Taylor was still going to be his guy if he was healthy. Of course, still not healthy. Justin Herbert got a start today. Los Angeles Chargers, though, ultimately fall 21-16 to the Carolina Panthers. Chargers were one of the lone favorites to lose outright today. Closed as a 6-point favorite. Total of 43.5 goes under. But Wes, Herbert today, 35-49, 330 in terms of the yardage, 6.7 per attempt, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 2 sacks, lost 11 yards. Numbers don't really show how clunky the performance was here for Herbert today.
Yeah, it was. And look, they caught the Chiefs off guard last week, and yep. they weren't ready for him, and that's why the Chargers almost had 500 yards of total offense. I think Herbert's got potential, but do you just go with him and ride him out and let him make the rookie mistakes? Because Tyrod Taylor, of course, missed last week. He was a late scratch. Apparently, the Chargers team doctor is you ever watch The Simpsons?
Yes.
Do you remember Dr. Nick?
Yes.
Hi, everybody. And he's like, puts the guy's leg where his arm should be, and he's like the worst doctor ever.
Yep.
That must be the Chargers team doctor, because they hurt Tyrod Taylor as they're giving him a shot before the game for him able to go, and he didn't go against Kansas City. But, yeah, the Chargers, tough spot for them, because I think they laid it all on the line against Kansas City. And then and that's why I ended up on Carolina, because they let one get away. They should beat Kansas City. They only allowed 9 points to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs through three quarters. You got to find a way to win that game, and they did not. So now they go to Tampa Bay. Look, Tampa Bay's offense, I thought, was solid in the first half. In the second
really
half,
like you said,
in terms of the average per play and whatnot, and maybe they just got a little bit more conservative to protect Brady. Now, he did have two passes, touchdown passes, Mike Evans. Gronk had 10 targets, 6 catches, not very many big plays. I mean, look, Gronk's not the same guy he used to be. And I even question if he still wants to be there. It's kind of like, well, they wanted me to play, so I'm going to play. But he seems to me to be a guy that enjoys retirement life, and maybe his heart is not totally in this.
Yeah, so the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, coming up this weekend, as you mentioned, will be taking on the Chargers. Full 7 right now. Total's popping up at about 45 or 45 and a half. Let's go to Arizona, Carolina, because the Chargers, of course, as we talked about, got to take on Carolina. Carolina still, I think,
a work in progress.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things here. One, you're the beneficiary of 3 turnovers in the first half, and yet you only have an 18-7 lead going into halftime. And then it was just punt central for both of these teams, both of them settling for field goals. The Chargers, after a 16-play, 75-yard drive, finally found the end zone. But I have been less than impressed with a Panthers offense that I thought was going to be a little bit better. But Teddy Bridgewater, this is the thing. Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback, Wes, but he is still the dink and dunk Teddy Bridgewater that we knew and that we loved. And he's not going to stretch the field. It's not going to be insanely dynamic. And that's the shortcoming here for Carolina.
He doesn't lose games for you, but he doesn't go out and win them for you. And that's exactly what he is. And look, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, I think, were satisfied with their personnel. All of their draft picks were on defense, which is still very young. And maybe Carolina, not a good offensive team, not a good defensive team, but a good kicking team. Joey Sly, 5 of 5 from field goal range, although they did get an extra point blocked.
Yep. And interesting here, as Carolina will take on Arizona at home this week, because the look ahead line opened Arizona -3.5. Actually, before it got taken down for this week, got to 5 before it got taken back off the board. And now we're sitting at Arizona 3.5, a 1-point adjustment off of the rehung 4.5. So the market was high on the Arizona Cardinals. And then, of course, they lost outright to the Detroit Lions, which is a pretty good spot for the Lions. And now it comes back to 3.5. What do you make of Arizona here in the comeback against a bad defense? Because it seems like a bounce back spot.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of in that dead number range though at around 4.5. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this one, but Carolina did get the win in the cover, but it was an ugly win. So I'm not exactly upgrading that team.
All right. Well, the Lions, they will get to take on the New Orleans Saints next week. Saints, of course, still in action against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night. So when we come back, the first tie of the 2020 season's in the books, and Carson Wentz looks awful. How's your confidence after this weekend in the National Football League? There's always room to improve. We all know it. You can improve that sports betting IQ, and VSiN's here to help you bet smarter this coming weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial. Place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today. You'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide, NFL power ratings, and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming, full replays of all VSiN shows, college football betting guide, previews, predictions, betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, pick tracker, all up on VSiN.com. Hit up VSiN.com/subscribe. Start your risk-free trial today. It's VSiN. .com/subscribe. It's Wes Reynolds, Jonathan Von Tobel, and the opening lines here. Carson Wentz, my friend, Carson Wentz. No idea what happened to him. This year has been god-awful for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Carson Wentz today, 29-47, 4.8 yards per attempt for Carson Wentz against a bad Cincinnati Bengals defense. One touchdown, two interceptions, was sacked three times as well. He has not looked very good at all this season. He looks lost, essentially. He doesn't have any accuracy on deep balls, Wes. He's thrown into double and triple coverage. The Eagles are now 0-2-1 after tying with the Cincinnati Bengals today.
Yeah, and then we were talking about this over the break. Obviously, he had the ACL injury, but I think it was the back injury, really.
Right.
He just, to me, has not been the same over the years. And when you say that to Philadelphia people, there's a lot of Philly people on the gambling Twitter community, and they love their Philadelphia and don't like the criticism from the outside. But Wentz has not been the same, and I think maybe Wentz looking at Joe Burrow on the other side, who talk about a guy that took a beating today, eight sacks, actually got knocked out of the game with the targeting penalty.
By the way, a brutal hit. I don't know if it was targeting, but it was brutal.
It was nasty, and he came out for a couple plays. Ryan Finley had to come in relief, but Joe Burrow's got some moxie. He's got a lot of potential, and I usually don't try to overly believe in a rookie, but you get a line in front of him, and you maybe get a couple more talented skill position guys. This guy can play. 31 of 44, 312, two touchdowns today.
Yep.
Did not turn the ball over either, and took eight sacks and kept on ticking as Cincinnati and Philadelphia with a tie at 23. So I guess punting, kicking is for losers, punting is for pushers as Philadelphia elects to punt. They were going to try a long field goal at the end, and then they get, what was it, a delay of game, or was it a false start?
Like, yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, so essentially they did not go ahead and throw it deep, because Cincinnati would have had, I think, at least one, maybe two plays to have a crack at this. But Philadelphia looks bad today. They've been shuffling the offensive line around, and you've got a quarterback that's just not effective right now. And quite frankly, I think they're down on skill position talent.
Yep, they're banged up as well. Yep, you're right. Jalen Reagor, of course, not playing because of UCL injury in his hand. Alshon Jeffrey back at practice, but did not play this week, so maybe he's inching closer to return. He's got a Liz Frank injury that he's been dealing with since December. Next week, though, two interesting spots for both of these teams. Jacksonville is going to hit the road to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. I was not surprised to see this initial move. Cincinnati opened 2.5, then went immediately to 3, which makes a little bit of sense. And I would be in definitely on Cincinnati at 2.5. Now it's at 3. We'll see where this number goes, but I would think this is not going to get back below 3 after what we saw from Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't think so. Jacksonville, look,
Gardner, that's a lesson to be learned. I'm sorry to cut you off. Thursday night, that's a lesson to be learned. A bad defense like Jacksonville, it helps to watch these games and pay attention, man, because immediately we talked about this that day. The flip of the role in terms of laying 3 points with Jacksonville, who can't stop a nosebleed, and Gardner Minshew, who commits turnover-worthy plays. Like, that's a bad combo to lay 3 points
with. When you get these role reversals, it's tough for a team to get up and meet that role, and that's why I played the Dolphins. I also had them on a bunch of teasers. They were my first teaser leagues going into today. Jacksonville, the defense is not good. A lot of that talent, remember how good it was about 2 or 3 years ago? A lot of those guys got frustrated and have been shipped out of town. Calais Campbell, Dante Fowler Jr., Jalen Ramsey. So all these guys that Jacksonville drafted over the years, most of these guys are gone, and you're seeing that materialize as Miami put up 31 points on them despite only 294 yards. It seemed like more. It seemed like Miami was going up and down the field on these guys.
So we should also note that Philadelphia, this is pretty interesting in terms of what's happening here with the Eagles in this game against San Francisco next week. Initially, we were looking at San Francisco as a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Since these results have come in, San Francisco is a 6-point favorite. Actually got to 6.5 briefly at the Westgate today before coming back to 6. I'll tell you what, I bet on the Eagles once this year. I might be doing it again here in this spot.
And I might be joining you because I think this is an over-adjustment. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on the 49ers. They went and got 2 wins in New York against the Jets and the Giants, who have a grand total of 0 wins between them. And this is still a banged-up team. I believe Jordan Reed, did he return? He went out of the game for a while today, who was
I don't believe he returned.
Yeah, he was in place of George Kittle, who missed. Garoppolo still questionable. Dee Ford still questionable. Raheem Mostert questionable. Solomon Thomas and Tevin Coleman now on the IR. Jalen Hurd on the IR. Nick Bosa, of course, out for the season with the torn ACL. Richard Sherman on IR. Deebo Samuel on IR. I could go on and on and on. Yeah, I think this is the spot where maybe Philadelphia, this may be where I have to go in and kind of buy low, I guess. We talk about buy low, sell high sometimes when we're capping baseball. This is that buy low situation, I think, on Philadelphia.
I would completely agree there. Now, also in the Keystone State, AFC representative Pittsburgh got a win over the Houston Texans today. A Steelers team that I think, West, through the first few games, I've been a little underwhelmed with. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm still a little underwhelmed with them for the most part. But today, Steelers 28, Texans 21. They end up covering in this game as well. Deshaun Watson did almost everything he could, 19 to 27, 264, 9.8 per attempt, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But ultimately, though, this Houston Texans team is missing some talent offensively.
And they also still struggle to protect Deshaun Watson. He got sacked 5 times. Pittsburgh looked one of the better pass rushers in the league. And this sets up an interesting spot with Pittsburgh and Tennessee because you got 2-3-0 teams that I kind of want to go against. Yes. And unfortunately, the schedule makers got them against each other. So that maybe takes an opportunity away and might keep me out of the game. But those are two teams that still have to show me something, even though they're 3-0.
And Minnesota, of course, will have to take on Houston. So that's an interesting spot for the Texans as Houston right now hanging 4. It opened up 4 last week, now still sitting at 4. I think it's an interesting spot there for Houston. And I wonder what the market's going to do with that number, because I would look to play on the Texans back at home against a Vikings team that is just not good. And maybe, just maybe, this total might get bet up. We're at 51.5, and if the emergence of Justin Jefferson is true, this could be a high-scoring game because the Texans secondary is still very poor.
Yeah, 444 yards for the Tennessee Titans, even though they got outgamed by Minnesota. So Minnesota, at least their offense looks like it's picking up, but they can't stop anybody. Gave up 8.2 yards per pass to Ryan Tannehill today. Look, almost their whole defense is gone from last year, seemingly, so this would be an over game for me.
Look, and I think a lot is getting lost in the bad start for the Minnesota Vikings. 2 out of the 3 games we've seen them play, they've averaged over 7 yards per play. They did it against Green Bay. They did it again here this weekend against the Tennessee Titans. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll take a quick look at 3 more games before we get out of here. Cleveland at Dallas, going to be a fascinating matchup, and much more as we wrap up the opening lines for the National Football League Week 4. Welcome back in. Last few minutes of the first hour here on the opening lines. Yes, 2 hours. Last week, we did shift a little bit. 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time are the new times for the opening lines here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Usual crew, myself, Wes Reynolds, Jacob Roach behind the glass as well. All right, we got 3 more games to get to for week 4. We can discuss these in a little bit more detail. We can go over what we saw in their previous matches. Let's start with Cleveland and Dallas, because I think these are some pretty fascinating results on both sides. First off, the Cleveland Browns. So I was on Cleveland today. I used them as part of a teaser, Wes. And during the week, Jacob and I actually talked about this. I was high on Cleveland and really wanted to play them against Washington. Sitting at 7, I couldn't do it, right? I didn't want to lay a full touchdown against Washington football team. But ultimately, I think the lesson here is that we're starting to slowly see what the Cleveland Browns look like offensively under Stefanski. And it's a lot of running. It's play action. It's getting Baker Mayfield comfortable. Mayfield today, 16 to 23, 156, 6.8 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He ran for 4.3 per carry. Chubb had another 100-yard game. This is a team that is going to start to slowly find its footing. Now, having said that, Dwayne Haskins was atrocious today, and it does not even speak to the three interceptions. I think he threw, I would say, at least 2 that were dropped, maybe even 3. It was an awful performance by Washington, and yet they led at one point. And that's kind of the worrisome thing here with Cleveland.
Yeah, I ended up laying it with Cleveland. Also had him in some teasers. Now, I did so with pinching my nose as I was making the wager. But look, I think Cleveland is kind of figuring out, you've got Nick Chubb.
Right.
Use him. I mean, feed the kitty and Kareem Hunt, who had a receiving touchdown today. You got a pretty good darn running back room there in Cleveland, and you need to use these guys and let Baker look. Baker's still early in his career. He's still going to be in his prime. He's still going to get better, but you got to give it time here. So, look, Kevin Stefanski, I at least think, has shown some competence, which his predecessor, Freddie Kitchens, did not show very often in his lone season by the lake. So Cleveland getting Dallas here. Gosh, I'm not – it's tough to make of Dallas. I was on them today, and they got beat. And Dallas, look, they had three timeouts. I think it was like, what, a minute 50 or so? Seattle scored just inside the two-minute warning. So you got three timeouts, a minute 50. You got to get seven to try to tie. And Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy were having Dak Prescott throw a lot of these dink and dumps down the field. And it's fine to maybe do that the first play. It's like, okay, let's get a first down first. Let's kind of crawl before we can walk. But eventually you got to let the dude take a shot down the field. Seattle's secondary was beat to hell this afternoon.
Yep.
And if Dak is going to be your guy and is going to be this this star that you think he can be, got to let him try to prove it, don't you?
And I they would didn't. Agree. I do think, though, I wonder where this number is going to be, because I'm going to be on Dallas this weekend. This Cleveland Browns team is very, I think it's pretty low key. They're really banged up defensively. They have a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. Denzel Ward was barely healthy. He played today, made an impact. But overall, they're missing a lot of key guys defensively. And it showed in spurts against Washington today. Washington moved the football on them for a few drives before Dwayne Haskins started to implode. But we're starting to see now through 3 weeks, the Ravens did whatever they wanted offensively. Joe Burrow had three consecutive scoring drives at the end of that game, both double-digit plays, going downfield, two touchdowns, one field goal. Washington moved it at one point. Now you get an offense that can spread you out and start to move it downfield. I think it's a bad spot here for Cleveland. I'll be interested to see, though, where this number goes, because we're now sitting at five for Dallas. And I do wonder if people are going to be down on the Cowboys, because these first few weeks have been kind of disappointing, and I'll be able to get a cheaper number here on the Cowboys.
And in spite of the play calling, I don't want to bury Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy too much. Just kind of maybe kick a little dirt on them, not necessarily bury them. 522 yards of total offense. The interceptions, obviously, minus two in the turnovers. Dak, those two interceptions, including that one at the end. But you just got to trust him a little bit, and you got to live and die sometimes and challenge your player and say, okay, kid, go and win me the game. And I kind of felt that they kind of went half in. They didn't go all in here, but I surely lean to your side there on Dallas. I'll be on them or nothing.
Now, Dallas' opponent today, of course, the Seattle Seahawks, they lose Jamal Murray. They lose Jamal Adams, strong safety, of course, the big piece that they acquired in the offseason. This is now, too, and I don't know if this is quietly, Wes, this is a Seattle Seahawks defense that I'm just going to say is flat out not good. They're just getting away with wins here because their quarterback, Russell Wilson, has been absolutely unreal. The good thing here for Seattle is that they get to go on the road and take on a Miami Dolphins team whose defense is not good either. Now, if you're asking me about the spread, I'm not sure if they cover seven, but this is definitely going to be a teaser candidate for a lot of people next weekend as Seattle's a 7-point favorite on the road against Miami.
Yeah, and I made the comment today, too, and I wasn't trying to disparage Seattle. They are a good football team, but they also run good, too.
Right.
They also get some very good breaks in a lot of these games. They got them last year, I thought, as well, and I kept going against them. That's probably the team that is the bane of my existence, I guess, in that Austin Powers, the snake to my mongoose or my mongoose to my snake, whatever it is.
That's a good reference.
But Seattle is always the team that I lose money betting against. They find a way to cover against me every time, and they certainly did today. Lean Miami, but not with a lot of conviction here on Sunday night.
And by the way, this is also setting up, if you can tell, this is also setting up to be another Seahawks season where their point differential is like plus 12, right? Like they're barely, like the last 2 weeks, it's like goal line stands.
They find ways to somehow win, or a ball bounces their way or what have you. Seattle and Pete Carroll do live right. They are a good team. I'm not discrediting them, but they get their fair share of breaks.
And another fascinating matchup, but look, we will wait to see Baltimore on Monday night. But Baltimore taking on the Washington football team coming up in week four is going to be fascinating for multiple reasons. But that front seven, I think the one thing that I learned from the Washington football team today, Wes, initially my judgment of them was very good pass rushing front. I don't know how they play against the run. And while the Cleveland Browns average 4.2 yards per carry, those are some tough 4.2 yards per carry for the Cleveland Browns. This is a dynamic front seven.
Chase Young, I do believe, went out of the game today
and did not
Washington
come back. He left and immediately came back to the sidelines out of his shoulder.
Yeah, groin injury today. But what you say about Washington is true. Very good pass rush. Ryan Kerrigan has been very underrated and unheralded in the league for a long time. Washington just doesn't have the personnel. Terry McLaurin, I think, is a very good receiver that's having to help out a very young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. Inman was a nice little pickup. Former Colt had two touchdowns today. So, look, Baltimore, it is a total dead spot, especially if they beat Kansas City, because they've lost to them in two close games the last 2 years. That's who they thought they were going to get in the AFC Championship game last year. They did not, as Tennessee kind of put a fly in that ointment. But would lean to Washington here, not with a ton of conviction, because it is Washington, but total dead spot for Baltimore.
Well, let's play this game too, because we've talked about this multiple times when you're talking about opening lines, what they look like and spinning them forward, right? So we have yet to see Baltimore play on Monday night. What's your opinion on Monday? Generally right now as it stands,
you know, I think number's about right. I was gonna say Kansas City, and then I kind of was flipping back and forth. Baltimore probably wins by four.
Yeah, so for the sake of this exercise, right, like, so like I'm my opinion's changed. I'm leaning a little bit towards Baltimore here. So in my mind, I think Baltimore's winning on Monday. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting at this and you're looking at this line, if Baltimore wins on Monday, and let's say even they win by like a full touchdown or something,
they're
like
gonna probably be two touchdowns
exactly.
At least.
Exactly. And so then if you like Washington, because I'm with you, I think I'd take Washington or pass in this spot. This is weight, because if they beat Kansas City on Monday, like I believe they will,
right,
you're getting
then all
14.
Of a sudden they're the Super Bowl favorite.
There it
essentially.
Is. Yeah, right. And then, but the tough part about it is you mentioned it. Not only are you playing Kansas City this Monday, you're playing a Monday, short week, then you go, and it's not far, but then you take on Washington with a divisional game on the other side of it in Cincinnati.
With Cincinnati, yep.
Right, so like it seems like a tough spot as well. It's almost, it's not as bad, but it is reminiscent of the Raiders situation today, right? Playing on Monday night, big win, then you got to go on the road to take on New England. It's obviously a much longer trip for them going to New England, and an early game at that, but it's just a bad road spot for them.
Yeah, and how much energy do you have? And then is it kind of like a, hey, let's get through this game. We know we're better than these guys. Let's just get through it. Don't do anything dumb. Don't get anybody hurt, and move on to the next one. So that, I think, could be a sneaky spot for Washington next week.
Couple of minutes on this, because we didn't really spend a lot of time on the teams that, one, we have yet to play, or two, that are still in action. We're talking about Sunday night between New Orleans and Green Bay. But the Patriots catching 7 against the Kansas City Chiefs coming up next week. I got to say, Wes, so if you watched this game in detail, which I was keeping track of because I was in on New England in a couple of ways today, 36-20, not really indicative of how this game went. There's a couple of key moments here and a couple of things. One, Cam Newton was not good in this game.
No.
Especially at the beginning. He
5.2 yards a pass.
Right. And today. he was like skittish. He wasn't finding guys downfield. Yeah. He looked uncomfortable in the pocket, holding on to it too long. And Belichick, you could see the game plan flip, and he goes, you know what? We're taking it out of your hands. It's all running backs. It's Sonny Michel. It's Rex Burkhead, right? And it's end arounds. It's doing everything possible, but having you win this game for us, which is a little worrisome. But the other part is too, Gruden, a questionable decision in the fourth quarter to take a field goal to make a 13-point game, a 10-point game, and really never getting the ball back. But I wonder what the carryover is here for New England after a really good game against Seattle. Offensively, you didn't have much here against Las Vegas when Cam had the ball in his hands.
Right. Look, still a work in progress, clearly, is Cam in Foxborough. But Belichick went back to that running game. I mean, you remember in the early years of Tom Brady, when it was Corey Dillon and Lawrence Maroney were kind of the 1-2 punch. So he is willing to run the ball. He is not one of these pass happy coaches that just wants to chuck and duck all over the field. Also, the score was a little bit deceiving. 3 Raider turnovers today, 2 fumbles by Carr, 1 by Jacobs. So that essentially kind of put them really in jeopardy and gave New England some short fields as well.
Yeah, this Raiders defense, though, I think this is going to continue to be a problem. Their front 7 has not been good against the run through 3 weeks now. Carolina did whatever they wanted on the ground. The Saints did whatever they wanted on the ground. And then once the New England Patriots focused on it, they did whatever they wanted on the ground. Here's the tough part, too. You have another massive athletic quarterback and a running game to deal with in the Buffalo Bills coming up this week in Las Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's going to get worse before it gets better for that Raider defensive unit.
All right. Well, we'll look, keep our look ahead, of course, for the National Football League Week 4. Matt Youmans is going to join us on the other side. But a lot of college football in the second hour as well. Of course, Circa first to market with a lot of these numbers, or actually with all of these numbers. We'll look at the notable line moves, where some of these have gone. It was an interesting week in the SEC for some big programs. And we'll see if Georgia is going to continue along the path here at quarterback, because the initial choice did not go so well. And now they got a very big matchup against Auburn coming up this weekend. But we'll have a lot of college football, and Matt Youmans is going to join us next here on the opening lines. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.